We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18 this evening to encourage our hearts a bit. We have been looking at prayers that God has answered in the scripture, and there are some wonderful, remarkable places where the Lord has moved. This one is no exception, 1 Kings 18, and we'll look at the latter part of the chapter. This follows on the heel, and I thought, well, maybe we should look at this, and we might yet. But when Elijah prays and calls forth fire on the altar he's built and the sacrifice he's laid, and he's no less a question is being determined than who's God. And whoever answers by fire, let him be our God. And the people of Israel say, hey, that's a good idea. And so as you remember, the false prophets have first innings. And nothing happens. There's no voice. No one answers. And Elijah calls them over, and they rebuild the altar, and he lays the sacrifice, and he pours water, and he makes a simple prayer, and God answers by fire. We're not looking at that prayer tonight. We're looking at the one after it. Verse 41 of this chapter. Also, now you know that this is the day. This is the day when the drought is broken. And what this prayer is the prayer for God to do just that, to send rain upon the earth. And so in verse 41 of 1 Kings 18, Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. But Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked. And he said, there's nothing. And he said, go back 7 times. It came about at the 7th time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. Now, to get into this, I want to just refer a little bit to the 5th chapter of James. You don't have to turn there. I think you know it. But it goes like this. As he encourages people to prayer, he is going to reference this event, this sending of rain, this answer of God to the prayer of the prophet. Now, as he goes on through this, you get a little bit of the sense, and this will be preparatory, but we get a sense that James is encouraging his readers to a life of prayer. Now, it's when you think about how Matthew's spoke of prayer as the Christian's vital breath, you think, this is one of those odd places that the irony is striking. That it's almost like encouraging people to breathe. Now breathe now. But sometimes we have to do that, and we have to do that when they are not well. When people are not well and they need to take a breath, breathe, breathe. And I think this is what James is doing. He's encouraging readers to a life of prayer. For instance, he says, if anyone suffers, what should he do? He should pray. If anyone is cheerful, that's the opposite end of the spectrum, isn't it? If anyone's cheerful, what should he do? He should sing praises to God, which really is just musical prayer. It's prayer set to tunes. Or if you're sick, what should you do? He says, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. And I asked everyone, well, from time to time, I asked the Lord about this, that he would raise up in the churches, plural, such belief in the elder body and the deacon body that such men can lay hold of God and bring forth healing in answer to prayer. This is part and parcel of what God has for the people of God. So this is again an encouragement to the work and the life of prayer. And you could say it this way: life is to be lived for the Christian, bracketed in prayer, underlined by prayer, highlighted by prayer, lived in prayer. Now, to encourage this, he says in the 16th chapter James 5, he says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." He's saying what? Listen. Prayer puts us in touch with the Almighty. Prayer loosens the chains that are holding up blessings. Prayer, and I hate that expression, forgive this. Prayer opens the door of his bounty, of his pantry. Prayer touches his heart, and he responds with good things for his people. And he's trying to encourage the churches here. Then to illustrate this principle, this truth, he references Elijah, and he says, now Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And so this is the illustration, and this is the example. Oh, I thought about that. You know, this is wonderful. This just means that the promises in the Bible are not empty promises. And it promises something, it means it. When he says, now, if you have a need, go seek God, and here's your example. And he pulls this out of the Old Testament library of marvelous events and says, now see? And you think, well, yeah, but Elijah was a remarkable guy. Then he says, now remember, he was just like you and just like me in that he had a nature like ours that had to be wrestled with and overcome and put down, stood against, lived life with, and overcome. He had the same thing that we have. And still he laid hold of God this way. The Bible promises are not empty, and these examples that are given are not just curiosities. Therefore, are encouraging, aren't they? Now, this is why we want to look at 1 Kings 18 and think upon this great answer that Elijah receives here to his prayer. You'll notice just a few things. We have a bit of time here. Just a few things. Elijah is not intimidated by the size of this request. Now, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years, James tells us. And I suppose it's the sort of thing that everybody and his friend and maybe everybody and his enemy were gathering together to pray and ask about this, and it hadn't happened. Now, this is the sort of thing that you think, oh my, I'm praying this. I've made my stand in front of the people like Joshua made this great stand of his. Oh, son, stand still, he says, in the presence of all Israel. And now Elijah has said, it's going to rain, so you better get yourself on down to Jezreel, O king. What have I done? He may be thinking as he crouches on the earth and puts his head between his knees, Lord, why did I say this? Maybe I should just go off someplace and pray. No, he's made this public stand. It's going to rain. It's going to rain right now. But he's not intimidated by the size of the request. God is able to do anything. Who sends the rain? Who withholds the rain? Elijah knew this. It was in the hand of the Almighty. It doesn't belong to the weatherman. It doesn't belong to these guys that Sam talks about the fellows out there in the jungle that dance around and shake their rattles and try to get something happening. The size of this, the sheer scope of it, has not intimidated the man. Number two, he is not paralyzed by a lack of answer at first or second or third. How many times? 7 times. So he crouches down, he humbles himself. This is a really a picture of abject humility, and he's really seeking God. And he's crying out to the Lord. Now, there is no lack of answer. I mean, there is no answer. And he sends his helper. You know the scene well. I've actually been up on Mount Carmel and tried to look out toward the sea. And you can see it. It's out there. Go look. There's nothing. There's nothing. Pray again. Go look again. Nothing. Pray again. Now, go look. Nothing. The fellow is not paralyzed by the lack of the answer. Now, why? Look at the first verse of this chapter. It happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth. He knows that he is praying according to the will of God. And here is a mighty lesson. We could be right in the dead center of the heart and mind of God. We could be doing the will of God. We could be pleading with him according to exactly what he wants to do. And it might not happen at first. This is something that we all do well to learn from this little passage here. This, we could call it uncomfortable if we must, but there's this truth about God that he is not dictated by us. He is not commanded by us. Even though he says, command ye me according to the things concerning my sons. He says that. But what he is saying is you pray according to the will of God. And then you let God's will work it out in God's time. Well, I appreciate the fact that he's not paralyzed by this. And thirdly, I appreciate that he's not satisfied until it comes. He keeps praying. And I offer this thought in answer to those who would say, well, I've already prayed about this once. Now, come on. If I ask again, it'd be insulting to God. Well, you're making yourself more spiritual and wiser than Elijah or Paul and a host of others, too, that pray and pray again until they get their answer. How many times did Paul pray about the thorn in his flesh? Well, he got his answer three times in. On the third session, the Lord just said, I'm not going to do it, but here's why. And he's given to understand the reason why. But he didn't. I have a feeling that he would have kept going until he had that answer, don't you? Well, Elijah knows this is the will of God. He knows God's going to send rain. There's not a cloud in the sky. Lord, we prayed six times about this. But I'm not satisfied until it rains. Because we have to prove this, that it's in the hand of the Almighty. He has just sent fire. Now watch him send rain. Only God can do this. Baal can't do it. Don't you think everybody, as we've said before, was praying about this all over the country? Don't you think the little churches on the corner on their marquee had pray for rain up there in big letters on their marquee? You've seen this, right? In time of drought? Of course. Everybody. What's the word? What's going on? We're meaning to pray for rain. Well, of course you are. So is Elijah. But he is not satisfied until it comes. These are simple lessons. They're simple to see. They're simple to glean from the passage. Oh, they're hard to do, aren't they? Because it means what it means. It means that there may be incredibly large requests that we have to bring to God. Lord, I don't see how this can be done, but this is my request. And you fill in that blank. It's whatever that might be for you. Or it may be that you've prayed about this and the answer has not come. And you hear your Lord saying, now you keep standing at that door knocking, and eventually the door will open, but you think, Lord, I've stood here all night long, it seems. My company's getting really hungry back home. I need three loaves from my friend. Lord, you hear that, and yet we pray, and the expected blessing just lingers still. How often do you think the saints in Egypt prayed? And they dusted off the promise where God had spoken to Moses, Abram, and said, for 400 years. And they said, oh God, would you answer this? Would you come? Would you come to us? And then we take this lesson too. It's hard to learn this, that we will not be satisfied until the answer comes. This is where the Stoic will just say, well, we'll just put the best face on things. Stuff like this happens from time to time, and that's just the best we can make of life. And let's just get on with living and do the best we can. And the Christian says, no, wait. God has more for me than this. And I want it. And I'm not going to be satisfied until he sends it. So these lessons, they're easy for us to talk about, but they're hard to do, aren't they? And I think that's one reason we have this in the Scripture. If James and all the apostles are encouraging us to a life of prayer, these are things that we're going to meet in that life as obstacles. They are not permanent barriers, my friend. They are not insurmountable barriers. God will help us in these things. Let's pray.